Hour number two of the Blitz coming at you. We did get Brandon his Snickers bar. He is good to go for the rest of the show. Are you not?
I'm great. Let's go.
All right. First story of hour number two. Peyton Manning did a interview, I guess fairly recently, with the Louisiana Sports. Well, I guess it was at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so that was last week when he got inducted into that.
He got inducted into two state Hall of Fames in 1 week.
Yep.
Good for him. Goat.
I mean, he's Peyton Manning.
So they asked him a couple of specific questions about his recruitment process. I think it's fairly interesting with everything going on right now, and I think his words do certainly ring true. He had this to say. I enjoy the recruiting process. I know it's different now. I know a lot of times kids commit so early and schools don't want you to go and visit other schools after you've committed. So I guess his advice is take your visits, weigh your options, build relationships with coaches, with players, and then make your own decision. Making your own decision sounds smart from him, considering, you know, he took the road less traveled from the family business, not going to Ole Miss, obviously. He said, when you make a decision, everybody wants to judge right away whether it's the right or wrong decision. I think it's up to you to make the right decision. Now, I obviously think he is playing into his experience. He is saying the right things here. I think what he's saying makes sense. But he said a lot of times kids commit so early and schools don't want you to go and visit other schools after you've committed. Well, that's kind of the point where I go, well, yeah, Peyton. Duh.
Yeah, but I think he's just telling he's letting high school players know that, hey, just because this school doesn't want you to go visit other schools, let's say just because you commit to Georgia.
Okay. God help you.
You should still go visit other schools. I mean, and that's what he says, that he really enjoyed the process. He said it helped him make his decision. He said, truth is, I wanted to go to all of those schools, talking about Michigan, Florida, Florida State, Notre Dame, Tennessee. He said, I wanted to go to Michigan. I really like what they were doing with their offense. Cam Cameron was their offensive coordinator. They had Elvis Garback and Todd Collins. Then you go back to that time, Florida was throwing the ball better than anybody. Florida State was kicking butt. Ole Miss was my dad's school and pretty much the only school I thought existed until I was about 16 years old. But you can only pick one place to go. And I had a great visit in Knoxville. Coach Fulmer and Coach Cutcliffe and I kind of hit it off. And it's as simple as that. And that's what recruiting comes down to. It's all about relationships. And kind of tying this back into Kerry Blackshear, if you can just get him on campus, which he is, he's coming this weekend. If Barnes and this staff, Mike Schwartz, Des Oliver, if they can hit it off well with Kerry Blackshear and start building that relationship. You get him on Knoxville, or get him in Knoxville. Maybe he falls in love with the city. I think a lot of people kind of have this misconception of Knoxville as it's like all the rest of these SEC schools. Knoxville, it's the third biggest city in Tennessee. I think a lot of people think it's just like a backwoods, redneck place. And there are parts where it is, but Knoxville has a nice downtown area. You're close to the Smoky Mountains. Knoxville's a great place. And I think a lot of people have misconceptions of it, and especially recruits. And then once you get them here, they're like, oh, this is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that even ties back to what we were saying about, you know, Blackshear this week is taking his trip to Kentucky, and then he's coming to Tennessee, right? There are things that sells Tennessee, the university, the team, everything included in the whole package, just from kind of walking into town. And I know there's other you know, great cities out there, and Lexington is not one of those. But there is something about this place, and you do have to have a thorough recruitment, because I think what we've seen a lot lately is guys committing but then backing out. Right? Guys committing somewhere but then transferring quickly. Maybe they didn't get the right information up front. Right? Maybe they were told one thing but something else was acted on. That's why somebody might transfer from a school. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like we've seen a considerable amount of transfers lately. And maybe what, you know, not even maybe, like what Peyton is saying rings true for any sport. These kids are committing so early because I think what a lot of it is a lot of it is about social media. You want to get your top 20 out there, your top 10, your top 5, your top 3. You want as much exposure as possible, right? If I'm a high school athlete and my offer list is 5 perennial SEC schools, maybe a couple of, you know, very good Big Ten schools, then yeah, like I want that exposure. And obviously not everyone's like that, but I think a lot of these kids are, just because of, you know, the way that high school football players can just be, you know, put up on such a pedestal. And so you do see a lot of these commitments early. But then I also see it from the flip side, right? We've been saying as Tennessee fans that, hey, we just need that first domino to fall in recruiting, in football. But we just need that one guy to commit. And then the dominoes are gonna trickle in. Everything's going to fall into place. But we just got to get that guy. We need to get him now. He's on campus. We got to lock him down today. We need something as soon as we can. So it's a tricky thing that I kind of see from both sides, from both the fan perspective of wanting the immediate gratification of having somebody sign with your team. But I also certainly see it from the recruit standpoint when, hey, this really is maybe the biggest decision of your life up until this point. Where you're going to go play football at a collegiate level, which hopefully would take you to the NFL, or if it's basketball, where you're playing college basketball to hopefully take you into the NBA. That's the dream. That's the goal. So I see it from both ways, but it really stems from this fluctuation of transfers that we've seen in every sport.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's get Rod in here. Rod, how's it going, buddy? Rod, you there?
Hello!
Hey, Rod, what's going on?
How we doing this morning?
Doing good.
Well, I got to tell you, I was talking to the morning crew earlier, and I was saying, who'd have thought that we was 80 days out from football season, and basketball's still the main thing we're talking about? And I told him I've been trying to get fired up for football season. I've been watching some of them Tubi videos there online and stuff, them pump-up videos. And
yeah.
Ain't none of it worked. And by God, Brandon, you ain't helping the cause, buddy, but I agree with you. There just ain't much to get excited for, is there?
No, and it is crazy, Rod, that I did not even realize that we were 80 days out from football. And you're right, we're worried about, are we going to get Kerry Blackshear? Are we going to get this grad transfer for basketball in here?
I mean, normally 80 days out, I mean, we got the countdowns going. We got it all. I've been around a long time now, boys, and I don't know that I've ever seen the complacency, and that's a big word for me. I've never seen that with the program where it is right now. I mean, it's just not excitement out there like there seems to be. And maybe it's because Barnes is taking a lot of that thunder, or maybe because Pruitt ain't as open as some of the past coaches. I don't know, but it's been hard for me to get on board with what's going on and just to get excited about it and get excited about getting back up there in KK again.
Yeah, well, Rod, I think it's two things. I think you kind of hit on a little bit with Pruitt not being open. He's not like Butch Jones in the fact that he's going to try to He's not going to try to go out there and get people excited with a bunch of gimmicks and things like that. That's not Pruitt. So I think that plays a little bit into it as well. And I think the Tennessee fan base, I think us as a fan base, I think we are tired of getting our expectations up and getting excited for something and constantly being let down and disappointed. And I think as a fan base as a whole, we've kind of adopted this mindset of, okay, I'm tired of getting my hopes up and getting let down. Show me. Show me that you can win and show me that you can be a winner before I invest my time and my money again.
Well, I mean, listen to old Rick there, bless his heart. He's trying the best he can to get everybody, get you fired up and get you a Snickers and get yourself back. But he's predicting us, he said, to go 6-6. I mean, it's just, it's doom and gloom around here, boys. Hopefully we land Terry Platts here. But I just wanted to, you know, maybe over the next week or so, we can try to pick it up. And I don't know if we can find something to motivate everybody, motivate one another. But keep up the good work, boys.
I appreciate the call, Rod. Appreciate you jumping on with us there.
Rod, thank you very much.
865-546-8200. Got a little bit of breaking news. Melvin McBride is taking a medical retirement. He's retiring.
That is a Tennessee offensive guard. If you are not familiar with that name, that's interesting. I mean, he was just enrolled.
I clicked on this article from the New Sentinel, and I didn't really need to click on the article to get the information. I could have just went
with it. Did you waste one of your free articles?
Yes, I wasted one of my free articles.
Well, that's the thing I've certainly noticed about hosting a radio show now is that the Knox New Sentinel, you know, great local place, but that's a real pain in the butt, let me tell you.
Now I have to be very prudent with my new Sentinel article selection. I have to be careful as to which one I pick. Damn it.
Look, Melvin McBride enrolled in school 14 days ago. So to me, like, I wonder what is going on. Do you have any more news on why?
Due to
health problems. So he's retiring. He's done.
Yeah, so here's his tweet. He says, "Today I officially announced my retirement from football due to health problems. I would just like to say that football has changed my life and blessed me in ways I could never imagine. But now God has a new journey for me. 100 emoji, flexing emoji, hashtag 60 forever." McBride, who signed with Tennessee in December, enrolled in May, is the fifth offensive lineman to take a medical disqualification this offseason. You heard that right. This offseason. Devontae Brooks, Chance Hall, Tanner Antonutti, Eric Crosby, and now Melvin McBride. And see, you see, Rick, this is why I am the way I am. Name another place where you have five offensive linemen that retire due to medical reasons in the same offseason.
Drawn blanks.
And not only those five offensive linemen, but you also throw in Darren Kirkland Jr. and James Brown, who retired early due to injury.
I don't know what's going on. I guess the best guess, and you know, this came to me from our in Houston Crest, but the best guess here is that, you know, he arrived on campus, something happened with, you know, with the physical. They realized there was some kind of, as the news has broken down, a major health concern. My question is that why did it take so long? Like, we obviously don't know the extent, right? And there are certainly things that could have come up for Melvin McBride recently in the last few weeks or so that could have altered this course. But if it's not, like, how were these things not found previously? What is happening with the offensive line position for Tennessee in the health department?
It's been, I don't know. I have no idea, but it's been this way. The offensive line has been a problem for years. You can't stay healthy. You can't. I don't know what it is. There's no logical explanation. I don't know what it is. But it's bizarre.
But we don't know what the extent of it is, right? When I read health problems, to me that doesn't come off the bat as injury, right? To me that doesn't come off the bat as something is happening in the wrong way for the workouts that these players are going through, right? He didn't just snap both of his ACLs, right, while he was trying to deadlift during a 7 a.m. workout. To me, this feels much more along the lines of a Trey Smith who just had health problems, that there was nothing anybody could do about it.
I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, it's not the case for all those guys. I mean, you look at Darren Kirkland Jr. I mean, he battled injury. I don't know if McBride, I don't know if he had previous injuries or not, but, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a situation like Trey Smith where it's something that's like the condition that he has. I mean, it could just be injury that he's fought through, like Darren Kirkland, and I think a lot of those offensive linemen kind of have those problems. But you hate to see it for him. Best of luck in whatever it is that he decides to do from here on out. I'm sure that Jeremy Pruitt and company will take care of him, whatever he decides to do, whether he wants to kind of stay on and kind of be a gratis or whatever they do with those guys, he will be well taken care of. I know that. 865-546-8200. Let's take a quick break. The Blitz continues after this.
.865-546-8200 if you would like to jump in on the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, and Matt, got about 30 more minutes left in the show before leading you into Talk Sports with John, Cody, and Ben. So Rod brings up a good point. We are 80 days out, and I didn't even know that. Maybe we should keep a tracker, though.
Yeah.
Nah.
Maybe when we get about 50.
Oh, wait, you get to, okay. All right. We'll workshop that. Why is it that the feeling on Tennessee football right now is where it is?
Before we get into that, I want to read a comment from Twitter. At Negaval98, he says, "Not to add fuel to the fire, but we still haven't heard about Trey Smith's final word. So we may have number 6 coming if he medically retires." That's true. You've not heard anything regarding Trey Smith.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking about that during the break, too. There's not been any word on what he plans to do. If he is going to get – I mean, I think he's going to try to give it another shot, but – no word yet. But to answer your question, I mean, kind of like I told Rod, I think people are tired of investing their time and their money and just their interest, if that makes sense. Like caring about something that's ultimately is just going to piss them off. Make them mad.
Battered Vol syndrome.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us have it. I mean, the last thing that we saw this football team do was get waxed by Vanderbilt. That's the last time we saw this football team.
And that was right after they got waxed by Missouri.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to be negative. I don't like being negative. I would love to come in here and be positive, but I'm not gonna sugarcoat things. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Tennessee, we're as a fan base, I think we're tired of it. We're tired of getting our hopes up just to be let down. And like I told Rod, I think we have a wait-and-see attitude now. Show me what you can do before I invest my time in it. And is that fair to Jeremy Pruitt and this coaching staff? Probably not. Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, Lane Kiffin, they all got that. They all got that excitement and the fans buying in and having excitement. It's not Jeremy Pruitt's fault that we are the way that we are, that we've been through all this, that we've seen this show before. It's not his fault, but there's nothing he can do except go out and win. That's the only thing that's going to change it.
What this offseason entailed in combination with where Tennessee has been, I think is incredibly interesting for Tennessee fans right now, because I think that all the cynicism, I think all the skepticism, I think all the hesitation is certainly justified. I know for me, like, Brandon, we joke around about it on the show, but ultimately, like, everything that you said has been right. Right there, Tennessee has to give us a reason to invest at the level that Tennessee fans are used to investing in this team, right? Because we've heard this song before. We've done this dance before where we get just our hopes are just skyrocketed in the offseason and they just come to a crumbling defeat by the end of the season when you're likely losing to Vanderbilt, right? But with what has gone off on this offseason, I think is especially telling to where Tennessee fans are at. Because ultimately, okay, go ahead.
No, finish. Go ahead and finish.
Ultimately, this is, and correct me if either of you think I'm wrong here, but this has been an incredibly productive offseason for Tennessee. At least I believe that.
Look, everybody was riding a nice high the way signing day finished off, and you got Darnell Wright and Toa Oto. Like, I mean, you're feeling good about that.
Yeah, the incoming recruits, a lot of these guys are going to be impact players. Darnell Wright, Wanya Morris, Henry Tuotuo, Quaverius Crouch, Ramel Keaton, Jalen McCullough, Eric Gray, Tyus Fields. Like, the list is good. These are a lot of guys. You had the 12th ranked class in the nation coming off of a 4-8 and a 5-7 year. Then you had a couple of good coaching moves. Jim Chaney is coming back. Jim Chaney is coming back. The guy who has done great things with Georgia's offense, who has done it before here at Tennessee. He's done it before. We have not seen a lot of good offensive production in recent years at Tennessee. Then you have a guy like Derek Ansley, who's coming over from professional football. He's coming in to work with your safeties and with your defensive backs. And ultimately, in the second year of Jeremy Pruitt's system, where it's not just these defensive guys learning one of the most elite defensive schemes in the nation, it's now them, you know, building upon it. They're not going into the season executing it for the first time in real competition. They're building on what they did last year. I believe that this has been a great offseason for Tennessee, but it doesn't matter because of what we've been through.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, all those things are great. You bring in two top-notch coordinators. Like Matt said, you finish signing day off strong. But we've seen signing classes that have been better than this, and they didn't really pan out. You had a few players that did, but the development wasn't there. And again, it goes back to show me. Yeah, we brought in these top-level, top-notch coordinators. We brought in Ansley. You brought in Jim Chaney. Show me what you can do. Show me that it's going to make a difference. Yeah, we finished signing day off strong. You got some top-notch, five-star, high-level four-star players. Develop them. Show me that they're going to be impact players.
Develop. That's the key word. We have seen a vast lack of development in the last couple of years. There's no reason that incredible recruiting class by Butch Jones that was top five or whatever should not have been one of the most revolutionary group of guys to ever step on this field, because they were all immensely talented. But what is their lasting legacy? It's that they never panned out. And I don't believe that was all their fault, because some of them are in the NFL. Khalil McKenzie is in the NFL as an offensive lineman. For crying out loud, he's an O-lineman. They had to have been developed more. Is that going to be, or I guess I should say, is this going to be the coaching staff that gets Tennessee players back to being developed into premier SEC players? Because the last one was not. It was not. You had some good moments. But even, you know, we saw what Jalen Hurd did at Baylor. We saw he's now in the NFL. Alvin Kamara was underused. Not developed enough. We see what he's doing. Criminally underused. We see what he's doing in New Orleans, right? Development is the absolute key. There's nothing else about it. You have to develop the guys that are coming in.
And, I mean, Tennessee fans, I mean, we're not asking for much. I mean, it doesn't take much to get us back, to get Tennessee fans back and caring like we were. I mean, if Pruitt can – if he can just get Tennessee competitive in – I would say every game, but just about every game except Alabama, if he can do that and win some of the ones that you're not supposed to, and he did that last year with Kentucky and Auburn, but you've got to beat Vanderbilt. You've got to win the ones that you're supposed to and win a few of the ones that you're not.
And for the love of all, can we take Muschamp down?
Thank you. I've been saying this for weeks. Since this show started.
Yeah.
I refuse to go 0-6, 0-7, whatever the number is, against Will Muschamp. I will not allow it. If Tennessee goes 7-5 this year, there will be a lot of excitement for next year. I really believe that.
Yeah, I do too. Especially if you have good showings against the teams that you lose to. Granted, you probably won't be in the whole thing versus Alabama. Maybe some of the other ones.
Even if you go 6-6, you get to a bowl game. If you can win the bowl game, there will be a lot of excitement going into next year. It's just and like I said, it's not fair to Pruitt because it's not his fault. But the situation is what it is. We're not gonna get excited if we have nothing to get excited about. We're not buying into hype anymore.
It's a good way to put it. I think that's a good way to put it. I think we've been fed hype for a long time now. And that hype, it's shown flashes, shown a couple sparks, but it's never pandered out the way that it was supposed to. And I think you're right. I think that we as a collective fan base have come together and we've decided that that's not what's going to get us out of bed anymore. You know what is? A good product on the field. I don't need flashy videos. I don't need, you know, great catchphrases. I don't need great merchandise. I need to see Jim Chaney call the right plays for Jarrett Garantano. I need to see how Will Friend is developing the offensive line, especially in the wake of what all it's going through right now, especially with Melvin McBride now retiring from football 2 weeks after stepping on campus, in case you missed that a second ago. I need to see a product on the field. That's it. It's not about merchandise. It's not about videos. That's the point of where we're at.
They give us something where we can jaw a little bit with the other fans around the SEC and be able to back it up.
Yeah, I want to trash talk again.
Yes.
I love trash talk. We ain't got no trash talk right now. If you would like to call into the program today, we got a little bit left. Two more segments to be exact. If you want to join us, give us a call, 865-546-8200. If you have thoughts on Tennessee football, the offseason, Melvin McBride, the offensive line situation, anything you want, we are here to listen. The Blitz will be back right after the break. Back here on the Blitz, second to last segment. A lot of Tennessee football this hour, because frankly, there is a lot to talk about. And I don't really know if we've had one of these kind of shows yet since our show started. You know, unfortunate Chance can't be here for this, but we'll get his opinion soon. In case you missed it, Tennessee offensive lineman that has been here for 2 weeks, Melvin McBride, has now retired from football due to health concerns. Not an injury, as far as we know, as of now. The exact quote was, I guess, medical reasons, health concerns, one of those two things. Which makes it, what is it, Brandon, five?
Yeah, five.
Five offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen, seven total this offseason.
Who have been restricted or retired by some kind of health concern. Whether that be injury or just medical.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I mean, it is,
and you hate it for those kids, for the guys playing.
It is what it is. You know, it does suck for them. You know, but season's still gonna happen. Still gonna have to trot out five guys there, right, to protect your quarterback.
Yep.
Luckily, you know, Tennessee does make some power moves in the offensive line department, other than McBride. Who was a three-star out of, what, Memphis, I believe?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Memphis. Darnell Wright is coming in. Wanya Morris is coming in. We'll see what happens. We'll see if we can get any more news on Melvin McBride. I imagine if anything leaks out the rest of the day, if this story continues to develop and continues to unfold, tune right in here. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM. We'll have you covered on that news all day. I know John and Cody will be talking about it. Trey Wallace might have some news to bring to the table with Russell and Bear on the drive. We will have you covered on this developing story. Another story that developed last night. The infamous TV show, Hard Knocks.
You a fan?
Is back.
You a fan of Hard Knocks?
A little bit, but I've never... Like, I've never cared enough about the teams that were in it to just be very consistent.
So I'm with you up until last year.
Like, I think it's interesting, but at some point it comes to a point of like, oh yeah, this was fun for a second, but I do not care about whatever insert team here.
I was with you up until last year's season or whatever they call this.
All right.
I thought last year's was really good. You had so many compelling storylines with the Browns. You had the coach's name that got fired. What was his
Hugh
name?
Jackson.
Hugh Jackson. You had Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackman.
No, not Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackson. Oh. Baker Mayfield, you had Greg Williams. You just had so many characters on and so many people, and it was compelling television. I really enjoyed watching it with the Browns last season, and I think this one will be better. I think this season will be better. I'm already hooked. They already have me. I'm watching.
Yeah, this season is it does kind of feel like your top-of-the-line gossip reality show, right? With as many hothead, overwhelming, overbearing, loudmouth characters that the Oakland Raiders organization now possesses. Holy smokes.
I mean, let's start at the top.
Okay.
You've got Weirdo.
Mayock? Mike Mayock?
No. I'm talking the owner.
Oh, Bowlcut.
Davis.
Davis, yeah.
What's his name?
Is it Al?
No, Al Davis was his dad.
Oh. Something Davis. Everybody knows him. He's the bowl cut man. He got a bowl cut. He's ugly.
Mark Davis. Yeah. Get a better haircut, Mark Davis. So you've got that guy walking around. You've got Mike Mayock, the GM, who everybody probably knows from he did color for NBC on like the Notre Dame games. He's always on, or before he took this the Raiders GM job, he was NFL Network's one of their big draft guys. So you've got him. Then you've got John Gruden.
Chucky.
Mind you, we're just a couple weeks out from the whole incident where John Gruden and Mike Mayock kicked all of their scouts out before the draft.
Yep.
Sent them home. Gave them the boot. Sayonara. Hasta la vista. This is like the amount of things like that could happen is just juicy.
Oh, no, we've not even got to the players yet, right?
Oh, yeah. Continue.
Well, you've got John Gruden. Monday Night Football, Tampa Bay Super Bowl winning coach, Tennessee rumored groomers.
Yep.
Love the groomers. I love me some groomers, by the way.
But we're moving on.
Wow.
Okay. We got Skull Kane. We got Pruitt.
I'm just saying I like the
groomers.
They
were fun, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were a lot of fun.
They were fun.
They were just a blast.
So then you've got Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Who is he's an interesting character. Very flashy. Very, would you say flamboyant would be a good word to describe Antonio Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then you've got him. Anyway.
Bengals.
So no big name coaches like you had with the Browns. I mean, you had Todd Haley and Greg Williams. Both of those guys were
a couple lightning rods.
Yeah. So you don't have – I mean, Gruden's the star. He's the star of the show in that whole situation. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm hooked. I'm ready to watch. 865-546-8200. Take a quick break. Final segment when we come back. I'm loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
Final segment here on The Blitz, taking you up to Talk Sports. John, Cody, and Ben will be coming at you in just a couple minutes. Now to close down the show like we always do. First and foremost, the two most daunted and celebrated awards in sports. Game 7 will be tonight for the whole cup. Stanley Cup Finals comes to an end tonight. St. Louis Blues will travel to the Boston Bruins in a winner-take-all game. Brandon, who do you have? I know you've given this a lot of thought.
I would like to take the Blues, but I think the Bruins get it done at home. I think the Blues had their chance to do it in Game 6.
They blew it.
The Blues blew it. I think they had their chance in Game 6 in St. Louis. Missed that opportunity. I think Boston capitalizes tonight and they take it. I think I hope it's a good one. I'll watch. I'll watch Game 7.
Yeah, I love a good Game 7.
I mean, I may not watch the whole thing, but I'm definitely watching. If it's close, I'll watch the third period like, intently.
Yeah.
I may not have any clue as to what's going on, but it is riveting television. Well, it's exciting. It's entertaining.
You can follow hockey.
Well, yeah, but I don't know the rules. Whenever they call icing, I don't know what that is.
Icing feels. I've had icing explained to me 1,000 times, and I do not get it.
Same. So I mean, I'll watch. Hope for an exciting finish.
They always are.
Maybe an overtime.
Oh yeah.
Overtime game 7. Go to a shootout.
Yep.
They don't do shootouts.
Yeah, they don't do shootouts. In the playoffs.
Really?
Nope.
Because the Stars and the Predators were going down that road in the first round.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they only do the shootouts in the regular season.
Yep.
A lot of the hockey purists don't like the shootout.
Gotcha.
Their comparison is it's like deciding a basketball game or a football game by free throws or a field goal. That's their thing.
I dig it.
But I'm with you, Matt. I love the shootout.
Too, man. Go back to the Mighty Ducks as a kid, man.
Yeah.
Soccer has the penalty kicks, although yeah. I don't know all the rules and regulations of when they bring that out, but more exciting, the penalty kick or the shootout?
Ooh. I'm going to go penalty kick.
Yeah. I'm going to go shootout just really? Because you have that long entranceway down the ramp. You know, and it's just fast paced. But I guess soccer, you know, the penalty kick is instantaneous.
Yeah, and
you know or you don't.
And you've got so much ground to cover too if you're the goalie.
I would be interested to know the save rate on PKs and shootouts between soccer goalies and hockey goalies. It feels like hockey goalies should be significantly better. I bet they're not. I just have a weird hunch that they're not.
I don't know. Maybe we can get some stats on that. Here you go. Here's a good one. From Channel 2 News in Chicago, protective layer of Willis Tower sky deck cracks under visitors' feet. So up in Chicago, they've got they call it the Willis Tower now, but the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
And they've got, so it's on the 103rd floor. And
103.
Yep. And they've got a little glass box that kind of sticks out from the building. It's entirely glass. You can look out. And the bottom is glass. So there, you walk out, you can look down on the street.
Yeah.
Kind of like the bridge that I was at.
Oh, the Sky Bridge.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's got the glass bottom. So there's like 2 or 3 layers of glass.
Okay.
There's a protective layer. So the protective layer of glass shattered. Like it splintered.
There's no more?
No, I mean it's there. Like you can see it.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Was somebody standing on it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Wow.
So the Willis Tower said no one was ever in danger because the protective layer did what it was supposed to. It says, one of the witnesses say there was a woman with 2 kids, and they looked really pale and scared because the floor just cracked.
I would imagine so. That is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine being out on that thing and it cracked?
I might just pass out right then and there. Just knocked out.
I would hope I had my brown pants on.
I mean,
well done.
I mean, you would. It would be very scary, but I mean, like I said, you're not in any danger. It's not going to fall through. Just a little frightening.
I've got some numbers on those conversion rates.
No,
really.
So for the hockey,
lay it on us.
The hockey shootouts average about in the 30% area for the conversion for goals made, and for. The numbers I found for the penalty kicks were from World Cup. They average about 71.5%.
Oh, wow. So you're much more likely to make a penalty kick than you are.
That's what's expected.
Yeah.
I was thinking it might be something weird the other way.
So it makes sense. You've got a much bigger area to protect for soccer.
Yeah. Well, that right there, that does it for the Blitz today. For Matt Johnson, for Brandon Orrick, I'm Rick Butler. We'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Talk Sports coming up next.